You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
It's
going
to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis! Touchdown, Ben Davis! The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
Welcome in to Inside Ben Davis Football, and it is sectional championship week. I'm your host, Zion Brown, with WBDG General Manager John Easter and Ben Davis Head Football Coach Jason Simmons. And we'll start off speaking on last week's sectional semifinal game against Southport. The Giants were on the road at Southport, and they beat the Cardinals 54-14. So, Coach Simmons, in that first quarter, Southport was able to move the ball down the field a little bit, and they hung around. So what caused the burst that your team showed in the second quarter to really take control of the game?
Yeah, I just felt like, you know, as we got rolling, I felt like our focus got better, our attention to detail got a little bit better. I didn't feel like we were real focused as a coaching staff. I didn't feel like we were real focused. Didn't have our football team real focused. Our guys, to their credit, kind of responded and answered the bell once we got in the heat of competition, I think, which shows the maturity that our team the progress that our team's making from a maturity standpoint. I just felt like getting off the bus, it just had a different feel to it. It wasn't the same feel that we had at North Central. And so, you got to really try and keep a tight pulse on your group and make sure they understand where they're at and try and redirect them as much as possible. But I felt like before the game, I felt like our pregame on the field was good. When we weren't on the field, I just felt like we weren't as focused as we needed to be. And I think that showed in our start. But once we got into the actual competitive nature of the game, then I felt like our guys really responded and tried to flip, you know, somewhat of a switch. I don't know that we're a switch flipping team, but our guys embraced the competitive piece and handled themselves well.
As the game went on, Coach, you got into a situation where you had another running clock situation, but you were able to get some players in to give them some significant time. So talk a little bit about how some of your reserve players played in the game.
Well, you know, I felt like we managed that piece well. We had a really good week of practice. We didn't travel the same number of guys that we normally travel, and that was intentional for two reasons. One, didn't have a ton of space at Southport. We knew the locker room space was going to be small, and we really wanted to concentrate just on taking guys for us that were going to be next up, and we wanted to make sure that we were intentional with who got reps if we were fortunate enough to get into a situation where there was a running clock. And so, you know, we had to navigate that roster, but I just felt like, you know, I felt like anybody that took the field for us last Friday worked to play with maximum effort, which is the number one thing that we're asking our guys to do. And then, you know, I felt like they competed and worked hard. And when you start to look at contributions and you start to look at, you know, just true individual guys, you take a junior like Amari Phillips, hadn't played a bunch for us this year. Amari, in the last month, has had his best month of football for us. And in practice, he's given our one defense a great look day in and day out. His effort, his intensity, his focus about getting himself better, making our football team better, really showed. And I felt like he played like that Friday when he went in the game. He's got a great leadership presence about him. Certainly has a bright future in our program, but he's one guy that really stands out to me that's really evolved here over the last couple weeks.
And Juwan Swanson threw for 5 touchdowns, all coming in the first half of that game. So what allowed him to get in such a rhythm where he could just complete those passes as effectively as he did?
Well, I really feel like he's growing and getting better every day. Our quarterback coach, offense coordinator, you know, Caleb Small has done a fantastic job with him here. And, you know, I felt like when you watch and you turn the film on, it was like, yeah, okay, you know, he threw for over 200, had 5 scores, but, you know, why? You know, and you look at his development, as a true quarterback. He's making some huge strides. He's taking coaching really well. He's competing well, and he's growing in his understanding of what teams are trying to do to us from a coverage standpoint. The other thing that he's doing is he's taking what the defense gives him, whether that's in his pre-snap check or whether it's in his post-snap look. He's taking what the defense has given him, and he's not forcing anything. I think what we saw out of him early in the year was he was trying to force too much, got himself in a lot of trouble, got our football team in a lot of trouble by turning the ball over and not making very good decisions. You look at him now, and he's controlling things at the line of scrimmage. If he has something, he's able to check to it and get the ball out on time, get it to the right guy so we can rip and run. And he's taking care of the football. You know, I think when you look at him over the last three games, he's valued the football really well. He's competed, and he's just taken what the defense has given us.
This is now the third consecutive game that the Giants have been over 40 points, 54 in this case. So the offense and also the defense, as we've seen the defense hold, I think, North Central to 20, 14 points, 7 points over the last few weeks. So when you look at where this team is from a confidence standpoint, part of this is obviously because of who you've played a little bit, not saying that North Central was any pushover or anything, but where is this team confidence-wise? And you really seem to have something rolling here for the first time here this year.
Yeah, you know, I think our guys, confidence-wise, you know, we're probably where we should be confidence-wise. You know, we feel like we have a good football team. We have long felt that we had the pieces to be a good football team, and we're hitting our stride right now. And I don't think it's any surprise that when you take 20 weeks off, and we've talked about that a bunch on this show, and now that we're back into a rhythm, and we're starting to see some fruits of our labor a little bit. You know, you look at our guys in the weight room. We're stronger now than where we were in the spring. Well, traditionally speaking, a lot of football teams don't get stronger during the season. You know, you're trying to maintain the strength that you were able to develop over the springtime, over the summertime. We're getting stronger as the season's gone on, and I think that shows on the field. I feel like we're getting faster as a football team. The one area where I really think we're gelling right now is the appreciation for each other. When you look at us and you watch practice with our group right now, we've had some of the most spirited practices over the last two and a half weeks, and there's a lot of talking going on in practice, and that's part of it. But there's also a level of respect growing right now amongst our football team, where our guys are having each other's back, and that's allowing us right now to play complementary football. And when our football team does that, and our offense does their job and finishes drives and puts points up, it gives our defense a whole another level of confidence. And that group is clicking and connecting with that group right now. We have some holes. We have some areas that we got to get better for sure. But I think our ability to play complementary football is what's kind of drawn the confidence out of our group.
At the end of the first half, following one of those Juwan Swanson touchdown passes we talked about earlier, you went for two up 41-7. It slipped out of Dylan Moore's hands. What was the mindset behind making that decision to go for it there?
One, it was a terrible decision, but I can tell you how we ended up in that situation. There's no excuse whatsoever. We never should have gone for two. And I even told our coaching staff, like, had I seen things differently than I did, we never would have done that. I was watching the official on their sideline, and as he's running down the field, he was exuding body language that indicated to me that he was going to mark our guy out of bounds. So we were out of timeouts. There was 3.9 seconds left. I wanted the ability to try and either A, kill the clock, or get a playoff so we could kill the clock and kick a field goal there and at least get some points out of it. I did not realize that they called it a touchdown and didn't rule him out of bounds. And so we had our offense on the field, didn't have a timeout to bang to get them off the field to kick the PAT. And so it was a lack of poise and understanding the situation on my part. And so that looked like we were trying to go for two and run the score up or whatever. And that certainly was not the case. It was just a lack of understanding of the situation on my part, which is inexcusable.
Sometimes stuff like that happens in a game, coach. So I wouldn't beat yourself up too bad with the way it goes. But Yeah, we were sitting and we were kind of scratching our heads at that one. Now it makes sense. Yeah. That's why we asked.
In no way, shape, or form would we have done that.
Appreciate you asking or answering the question as well, as always. But when you look at your squad now is heading into the sectional championship game, do you, without kind of previewing too much what we might talk about in the second half of the show, but you continue to play well on the road. You continue to see this team grow. Any thoughts about the top end that this team might have here as we continue into this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, we feel like our best football is still ahead of us, and there are some sleepless nights right now when you look at everything that's going on in the surrounding areas and in the surrounding communities. We cannot emphasize to our guys enough: keep your circles tight, keep your masks up, do everything you can to take care of yourself, take care of the people around you. Because we want the opportunity. You know, we're at a point in our season right now where we feel like we're playing good football. We're getting better every day. We're having some success where we felt like we could have been had we not gone through the pandemic in the spring and summer. But we're here now. And so, you know, we want the opportunity to practice tomorrow, to prepare to win a championship on Friday. And we want the opportunity to play on Friday. And then we're gonna do everything we can to get the next day. But we feel like we're in a position right now as a football team where we're still getting better and growing every day. So, you know, if we're fortunate enough to get through this game on Friday with a sectional championship, then we can look ahead. But we got to take care of what's right in front of us right now, and that's the opportunity to get better tomorrow and to make sure we have a true understanding of what Perry Meridian is going to do when we get there on Friday.
Despite dominating most of the game, especially from the second quarter on, like we talked about, the Giants still gave up over 100 yards in penalties. What is the reason that this keeps happening, and how are you guys trying to fix that going into Perry this week, and if you can advance further than that?
Well, we've certainly worked on our conditioning level as a result of those penalties this week. We have to understand, as a football program, there are penalties you can live with as a coach, and then there are penalties that are just grossly inexcusable and really negligence. When you look at And we had both on Friday. You know, we got called for two different pass interference calls. They're 50-50 calls. We don't have any control over those. Just play on. You got to go win the next play. We may get those calls in games. We may not get those calls. It is what it is. I mean, there's human error involved here. So we can't sweat those, right? And whether we agree with them, disagree with them, doesn't matter. Just turn the page. Figure out what he called and what he saw so we can address the technique piece of it. Turn the page and move on. There's a penalty at halftime just for running our mouth. Inexcusable. Penalty on our sideline, running our mouths. Just inexcusable. Like that's the lack of maturity that led to us working on our conditioning level this week in practice. And we have to understand those situations and do a better job. We have a false start. Inexcusable. Like, we know what the snap count is. We know when we should be leaving. We should not have false start penalties. Shouldn't have penalties because we want to argue a call, or we want to talk trash to an opponent. Like, those are all inexcusable. Those hurt our football team. The effort penalties, you got to live with those. You know, we play a high level of football week in and week out. We're going to get called for holding at some point. We're going to get called for pass interference at some point because we're aggressive on the back end in the secondary. I get it. Those we can live with, but the false starts, the offsides, the penalties that are discipline related, those are the ones that are completely inexcusable, and those are the ones that have really pushed us over that 85-yard mark, 100-yard mark. This past Friday, we were at 125, all in the first half, which is negligence. We have to continue to emphasize it as a coaching staff, but we also have to make it a priority as a football team that we're going to go in and handle us and take care of us and go play the next play.
All right, that will wrap up this first segment. Speaking on the Giants' win at Southport, 54-14 to advance to the sectional championships, which is this week at Perry. We will talk about that game after the break. You're listening to Inside Ben Davis Football.
I may never have met you. We don't go way back. Maybe we wouldn't even be friends if we did. But when you wear a mask, you have my respect. Because your mask doesn't protect you, it protects me. I wear my mask to protect you. Mask up, America.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Back here on Inside Ben Davis Football, I'm Zion Brown with John Easter and Ben Davis head football coach Jason Simmons. And now we'll speak on this week's game for the Giants, the sectional championship at Perry Meridian. The Falcons won 35-0 at Arsenal Tech last Friday to advance to this game. So, Coach Simmons, you played this team last year. You've obviously at this point got to see some of their film from this season. What do you think are some of the biggest strengths for this Falcons team?
Well, I tell you, they've had a lot of growth. They have a first-year coach in Coach Cooper. He brought in some new assistant coaches, and you turn the film on, and that was probably the first thing that stood out to me was, you know, there's a definitive plan here offensively and defensively. They're playing hard. They're more competitive in games this year than they were a year ago, and you know, they know as a coaching staff and understand what it is that they're trying to get done week in and week out. And I think their kids understand it. So it's certainly a better to better Perry Meridian team. It looks like the football team's maybe in a little bit better place than where it was a year ago. You look at them, and they're defensively, they're very disruptive in the box. They like to bring multiple pressures. They like to move the front. They're going to try and heat us up and just create havoc and create some junk for us to have to work through. You look at him offensively, and the quarterback has a live arm. He's got some really good arm talent, and he can spin it. They play hard up front. Not real big, but they play hard. They get into people, and they work like crazy to finish plays. And, you know, they have some physical players that we saw a year ago in the run game. So they're going to present some challenges for us on Friday for sure. And you look at them in the kicking game. They have a dynamic kicker. He kicked for him a year ago, lefty, and they do a lot of different things with their kickoff team. They put the ball a lot of different places, try a lot of different kicks, just try and junk it up and muddy it up. They're aggressive with their punt team. So it's certainly a football team that, coming off of their first win in 23 games, and, you know, they certainly have some momentum and they have a taste of what winning is, and they're going to present some challenges for us on Friday.
Yeah, it was a resounding win, as Zion said, 35-0 over Tech. A little bit of a – probably not necessarily a surprise that they won that game, but certainly the margin, I think, surprised at least me.
Yeah, the margin surprised us as a coaching staff too. We just based off of comparative scores and what we had heard from people that have played them, and, you know, we kind of had a feeling Perry would win, thought it may be a one-score game, two-score game, and then – you look up and it's 35-0 with 5 minutes left to go in the third, and it's like, holy smokes, you know. And so, you know, we got to dig into this game film and see what happened. And, you know, they're up 21-0 late second quarter. Tech's driving with under a minute to go in the first half, and they really just throw one up in the end zone thinking kind of Hail Mary type situation. Perry picks it off, runs it back for a 99-yard touchdown, makes it 28-0, and then Perry got the ball to start the second half. So they went down and scored, up 35-0, and then, you know, that kicks in the running clock, and, you know, at that point it's hard to recover. And so, you know, good for those guys. You know, they celebrated that win in a big fashion, and they should. I mean, that program's been on the rocks for a little bit here, you know, with 23 or whatever it was, straight losses. And so good for those kids for persevering and sticking with it.
And one guy that Perry has that could be a threat this week is Reggie McDonald. He's really – a do-it-all guy. He plays wide receiver and cornerback. He also runs the ball a little bit, and he punches. How do you really account to face a guy like that, that you never know when he's going to leave his mark on the game?
Well, you know, he's one of those guys that we ID'd for our kids early. You know, the other guy that we ID'd that we saw a year ago was Aiden Warner, you know, just the big, thick running back that they had a year ago who had a couple of nice runs on us. You know, some of these guys we saw in the game a year ago, they're returning starters, like you mentioned, Zion. But, you know, I think when you look at their offense, you know, it starts with Reggie McDonald and Aiden Warner. They try and get those two guys the football and try and do what they can to get them into space. And then you look at Reggie from a defensive standpoint, like you mentioned, he's a guy that we have to be alert to and aware of where he's at, because he is a big playmaker for him. They've ran some fake punts with him. They do some different things in the punt game. With him, and so we have to be alert to where he's at. We have to have an understanding of who is where for them in formations. And then we have to make sure we get ourselves aligned and communicate and try and go play Ben Davis football.
You don't get the opportunity to go to too many new stadiums these days. This Perry Meridian field is pretty new. I think 2-3 years old now as you go in there. But it'll be the first time the Giants have ever been down to play Perry Meridian at Perry Meridian High School. Always before, the game was over at Southport at what was then called Perry Township Stadium, now called Cardinal Stadium. So as a coach, I know this sounds like maybe just a silly question to ask, but when you go to a new facility, is there any more kind of scouting that kind of goes into something like that?
You know me well enough to know that those logistics matter to me. So we actually talked to one of our assistant coaches was on Southport staff in 2018 when they went there. So he tried to paint a picture for us from what he could remember. We talked to Greenwood, who played there this year. We talked to Decatur Central, who played there this year. And it, for me, it was, okay, you know, what are we getting into from a locker room standpoint? Well, tight quarters, you know, okay, small locker room, got it. Where do we have to walk? You know, when you look at the logistics last week at Southport, we created some of our own issues at halftime by not having a better plan, and that's completely on me. But that's one of the things I wanted to get answered is who do we have to walk by? Where do we come out based off of where do they come out? What end of the field are we warming up on? How long is the walk? So there were a lot. I had some logistics questions. And so you pull up their schedule on John Harrell's website, and, okay, Greenwood played there. We know somebody on Greenwood staff. Decatur played there. We know several people on Decatur staff. So I just reached out to him, like, hey, what are we getting into here? Like, I've never been there. Last time I was there, Brady was in sixth grade, you know, playing a youth football game. So it looks a lot different now than it did, you know. So like those are logistics pieces that I want to know getting into. Those are things that we'll talk to our kids about tomorrow, make sure that they have an understanding. As soon as we get off the bus, we'll make sure they understand what it is, where we're going, what the logistics layout looks like and what we need to get done. But that's certainly something that I want to know going into, because I don't want any surprises when we get there.
This is now obviously your third year as the Giants coach, your first year in the sectionals. You had Warren the first round, and they ended up winning the state. Now, after winning last year and being in a position to win again this year, what would it mean to you to win these back-to-back sectional titles and advance on to regionals?
Well, I think it would be big for our senior class. You know, this I think this group of seniors has kind of had a little bit of a roller coaster career. You know, they didn't have a ton of success as freshmen, but they saw what success was like in 2017, and then 2018 we certainly didn't have the season that we wanted their sophomore year. Last year we got a taste of success, especially tournament based success, and so here we are again. We have an opportunity now to win, you know, back to back sectionals, and yeah, you know, I would be excited for this class to kind of be able to, for those guys to be able to, you know, at least take it, you know, at least take the sectional championship with them. And then, you know, whatever happens after that is you know, certainly going to be able to add to their legacy. But, you know, for us, we need to go there with the intent of playing Ben Davis football and giving ourselves an opportunity to walk away 2020 sectional champions in a year where, you know, we weren't guaranteed anything back in July.
So if you do, if you are able, let me start this over. If it's live radio, ladies and gentlemen, if you are able to get the win on Friday night, it would be the school's 24th. Sectional title, which when you think about it, the whole sectional process did not begin really until they went to the tournament in the 70s. The Giants won a sectional in the 70s, but pretty much all that success has come in the last since 1987 really for the Giants. So a lot of success for the Giants over that time. Where do you put a sectional in the whole scheme of things? How much does it mean? I guess this is maybe a little bit sort of the same question that Zion asked, but as far as program wise, as far as legacy wise, where do you put that sectional championship?
Well, I think when you look at the success that this program, you know, that we're all blessed to be a part of, when you look at the success we've had over the years, you know, it's just, I think it's just, it's another comma, you know, and, To be able to win, a sectional championship here, I think is something to be able to be proud. You should be proud of it. You know, I think when we used to talk in the mid 2000s when I was here the first time that, you know, back then the sectional, I felt like the sectional trophy was the hardest one to win because you had to be on point for three straight weeks, and that was a grind. Here, you know, you got to get hot and you got to play two good weeks of football, which still is not an easy chore, not in any stretch of the imagination. So. It just means for us that we're playing the right football at the right time, and it gives this senior class an opportunity to look back and say, you know, we were a part of championships that led to the standard of Ben Davis football, and I think that matters.
I guess the question more is, people from the outside expect a sectional championship every year when you're the Ben Davis football program. They just kind of expect that success. But is there something more to it than just the expectation every year you're going to win a sectional?
Yeah, for us, no. I mean, it's what you sign up for when you choose to be a part of this program. You know, you take that field every day in practice, and you look down at the end, and underneath the scoreboard, there's nine sets of numbers. Like, you know, that's what this program embodies. And so you got to know what you signed up for. And, you know, that's all of us, coaches, players, managers. Doesn't matter, trainers. I mean, we're all in this thing, you know. And so, you know, we certainly expect to compete for championships year in and year out. And you know, we expected a year ago to compete for a MIC championship. It took us all the way until the very end of week nine to get there, and it certainly wasn't the straightest of paths. But you know, those are the expectations when you sign up to be a part of this program, and that's what makes this program special. You know, there are some places where you win a sectional championship and they bring the fire truck out, they have a parade for you, they do all those things. Here you win a sectional championship and it's like, okay, who we got next week? And those are and really good indicators that you're a part of something special. And we certainly feel that way here.
And record-wise, Southport and Perry, who you both faced in the last 2 years, this time in the opposite direction as far as last year you guys played Perry first, but record-wise, these aren't very teams that look very strong, but we see every year just upsets in the sectionals or just games that are closer than they look like they should be. Do you think that the fact that you play such a tough schedule in and out of the MIC really helps you face these teams that may not play as strong as the schedule as the Giants do?
100%. You know, there's a reason that you want to play the schedule that we do, and it's for situations like this so you can be tournament ready. One, we're going to see every type of almost every type of offensive scheme, defensive scheme, blitz look, whatever it may be. We're going to see a lot through the course of the regular season with our schedule, and we certainly saw it this year. And so our schedule, when you looked at the end of the regular season, and I didn't look this up, somebody told me this, we had the number one ranked schedule of just Indiana opponents of anybody in the state of Indiana. We had the number two ranked schedule overall. And so it's really easy for me to stand up in front of our guys and say, guys, you've seen everybody that you're going to see in the tournament that matters, right? You've seen everything that you could see. You've already seen it. You've already seen every opponent that we could potentially face, minus, you know, Southport, Perry, Tech, you know, those three teams in our sectional that we don't see. So, you know, now the question becomes, how hard do you want to work and how good do you want to be? And, you know, there's no question when we took the field on Friday that our schedule had us prepared to go play Southport. There's no question we're going to be able to rely on that same schedule when we get to Perry Meridian on Friday.
And so just overall, what are some of the overall keys you feel like are to winning that game at Perry on Friday?
Well, we have to get off the bus and start fast. And in order to do that, we got to finish the week of preparation that we're having right now. We had a really good Monday. We were okay yesterday going in the morning with no school and kind of got our guys off their rhythm a little bit. But they still had a lot of juice, had a lot of spirit to it. You look at our practice tonight, it was a really good ball practice. And so we got to finish our week of preparation. We got to get on the bus focused. You know, I felt like we were all over the place as a program last week. That's certainly not going to be the case this week. We got to make sure that we have their attention getting on the bus. And then we got to get off the bus and we got to go play Ben Davis football. We got to let the regular season schedule that we played help us. We have to start fast and we have to make sure that we try and take their spirit from them as quickly as we can. In the games that we've had success here, the last three times we've taken the field, we've gotten fast starts. And, you know, I think that's going to be important for us to build that confidence and to build that momentum and to see where this thing takes us.
That will wrap up this episode. here tonight. Thank you, as always, Coach Simmons. Thanks for listening. And do not forget to tune in on Friday night for the sectional championship game between the Giants and the Perry Meridian Falcons. That game will be at Perry. Gavin Miller and myself, Zion Brown, will have the call for that one on Friday night, with the pregame starting at 6:15, the kickoff around 7. Thanks for listening. This is Inside Ben Davis Football.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.